All right, welcome to Speak for Yourself. I'm Jason Whitlock. That's Marcellus Wiley, that dude.
Yes, sir.
Coming up, we'll tell you if the Rams have figured out a new way to dominate the NFL.
And if the Anthony Davis saga is making the NBA look bad. But we start every day with a Whitlock, so what you got today?
Oh, I got something short and sweet today. This being Super Bowl week, a reporter asked Tom Brady to compare himself to LeBron James.
LeBron James.
Brady responded with humor.
We're similar athletes, LeBron and I, both great size and speed, jumping ability, shooting. Not quite. No, he's a much better athlete than me.
All right, here's the truth. Tom Brady and LeBron James have virtually nothing in common. They're opposites. It doesn't make one better than the other. It makes them different and equally interesting. Tom Brady is married to a multimillionaire supermodel he started dating after he had a baby with a millionaire actress. LeBron James is married to his high school sweetheart. LeBron James was a childhood phenom destined for NBA greatness since about age 13. Sports Illustrated labeled teenage LeBron the chosen one. He was the first pick of the 2003 NBA draft. Tom Brady rode the bench his first two seasons at Michigan, and in his senior season, split time with Drew Henson. Brady was the 199th player selected in the 2000 NFL draft. Tom Brady's played for one team and one coach throughout his 18-year NFL career. LeBron James has played for three teams and seven coaches throughout his 16-year NBA career. Despite an adversarial relationship with Commissioner Roger Goodell, Tom Brady has partnered with Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick to enhance and empower the NFL brand. Despite a supportive relationship with Commissioners David Stern and Adam Silver, LeBron James has partnered with Maverick Carter and Rich Paul to enhance the power and the brand of NBA players. LeBron James's star power and raw talent diminish and relegate his teammates. Tom Brady's star power and skill elevates his teammates. Tom Brady goes out of his way to keep his political beliefs private. His charitable activities are not at the forefront of his social media branding. LeBron James goes out of his way to showcase his political beliefs and charitable activities. LeBron James wants to be more than an athlete. Tom Brady wants to be the greatest athlete. All right, joining the desk now are former NFL Pro Bowler Greg Jennings and NBA champion Marcellus Dante Jones. NBA Marcellus.
You said champion and my name is?
Hey, look. He's like, almost, what you gonna say?
Finally.
Almost. I'll start with you.
Yes, sir.
LeBron or Tom Brady, who has been better for their sport?
Whew, this is a tough one. From the outside, it would look like Tom Brady because he's built the brand for the NFL to a greater volume than it seems like LeBron has for the NBA. But I'm going with LeBron James. I'm going from a player's perspective. I'm going from what I would want to be if I were one of these two athletes. I would rather be LeBron James. One, Tom Brady's like the sheriff of suppression. I mean, think about it. He suppresses his own contract value. He takes pay cuts and haircuts. And sometimes he does it, and it's in a futile effort. Hey, I'm going to save a couple million. Give it to Wes Welker. The Patriots said, we're not going to keep Wes Welker. And then Brady's like, well, can I get my money back? And then they're like, nope. And he's a sheriff of suppression in that way, sheriff of suppression in terms of his values, the way he goes about his business. He stays real close to the vest. And I like LeBron James's way, which is I'm going to make it good for me, and I'm going to make it great for others. I'm going to make sure I employ other people. I'm sitting next to Dante Jones right now. LeBron James done connected him to a point where, you know what, you're a champion, and he's built up so many people, Maverick Carter, Rich Paul, countless teammates.
Those guys are part of the NBA, and it's not about like who's been better for their sport.
Oh, LeBron James, he's told guys to maximize your value. We're talking about Anthony Davis right now today. This is LeBron James saying,
is basketball, not individual players.
But you know what?
Made up of the individual players.
Ain't no we without me, bro. So I'm looking at this as a collective. Like, LeBron James is making sure that every single player knows their fair value. And then that aggregates to where the sport is great. But Tom Brady did it for the sport, but not necessarily for him, and definitely not for others surrounding him.
I'm going to go next because I pretty much know possibly where you're going to go. And it's LeBron James for me, too. When I look at these two athletes, you talk about there being completely opposites. I don't think they're completely opposites. I think they've their approach is different. And LeBron James, everyone, when you look at, no, let's start with Tom Brady. When you look at Tom Brady, how many stories in the NFL can say, I was a seventh-round draft pick, I made it, not to his level, not achieved the things that he, but they made it. J.J. Watt, free agent, look at him, perennial Pro Bowler. He's had great success.
J.J. Watt was drafted.
No, Tom Brady was sixth round.
Tom Brady was I know. I'm just saying, but guys, similar or worse off when it comes to the draft. It's so many more that can say, my path was similar. Who can say their path was like LeBron James? Mm. Where here it is, I'm the number one chosen one in all of high school sport. The burden of being drafted to my home state, and then saying, you know what? Here, have this franchise, do something with it, bring us a championship. That burden he's lived up to and exceeded expectations. Tom Brady, although he has achieved and accomplished a lot, he's been great for the sport of football. LeBron has been unbelievable for the sport of basketball, which is made up of individual guys collectively that makes up the team. He's given guys a voice. Look at Kevin Durant. He felt like, I can go and do what I want to do because this is who we are. Look at AD now. He's given players a voice. And at the end of the day, every player that plays a sport wants more power, wants more say, wants more access. LeBron James has it all.
I think I've asked a very difficult question because I keep going back, better for the sport, and we dive off into a bunch of other things. The NFL just report more than $25 billion in revenue. The NFL ratings.
That's because of Tom Brady?
So he's been a big part of it, and that model of the league building around quarterbacks, what he and Peyton Manning were able to accomplish. A lot of people could say the NFL's never been in better financial shape and that Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and this whole quarterback thing have been a big, big part of it. And that's not a, again, these statements aren't negative about the other person, but let's don't diminish what Tom Brady has done for the sport by talking about what LeBron James has done for Maverick Carter and Kevin Garnett.
So
Kevin Durant.
You're speaking from a revenue perspective. And as players, what we're saying is LeBron James has showed that sport is bigger than just what you do on the field. And that makes the brand of the NBA better because it's putting more pressure on players to use their platform and their social responsibility to be more than just an athlete. And that's in the communities that they come from. It's in life in general and how many lives that you touch, whether it's your friends. I don't think, as players, we understand that when we came to in the league from our respective sports, we had a bunch of people that hung around us, and we never gave them a purpose, and we never did what we were supposed to change their lives, to give them a direction to be forward. I think if I could rewind back, the approach that LeBron is taking with empowering the people around him and his community to move forward, that's Akron, that's Maverick, that's Rich, that's Randy, giving them opportunities to outlive his career and showing you the blueprint to do that, that's how he's changed sport because it's put responsibility on the athlete to take everyone around them and make them better rather than just give them things and just and kind of hinder them because they never had to work for anything or never had a purpose throughout your career.
Yeah, when yesterday, sport used to be just competition in the games, and then that has expanded immensely. Like, first of all, NFL and NBA, they're going to survive and thrive with you or without you. And every single coach I ever played for showed me the shield and said, none of y'all bigger than this. So don't get it twisted. Even you, Tom Brady, because if you think Tom Brady is the guy, Joe Montana used to be that guy. And the treatment of Joe Montana at the end of his career was a wake-up call to many of players, including superstars. This is how it goes down. Where LeBron is looking at that and saying, I'm going to give you guys some empowering lessons through my actions and through my access. It's a completely different thing. And I'm looking at Tom Brady like respect. But even him, as great as he is to the game, he still takes it down a notch so that his game and his team can be dynastic. Where LeBron's like, I'm going to take it up a notch, and I'm still going to be the guy that's going to be in the finals every single year.
Listen. And we may circle back to the topic tomorrow and have a discussion who's been better for overall society. I get it. I know that people want to do that in sports. That's why Kaepernick, hey, let's take a knee. Let's make this about more than the game. I get that. And we can have that conversation. But again, the conversation today was just like, who's been better for their sport? And again, and the second level, and again, everybody's dodged it, and we'll move on to it in a second.
We are not dodging it.
We're not dodging it.
No, you gotta change it.
Because sport is bigger than just the dollars and cents that you probably can't define according to Tom Brady and LeBron James over their tenure, but it's bigger than because the
no,
sport,
I agree.
The
we
sport goes to the collegiate
because...
athlete who knows that now you see Rich Paul that you can have an effect on sport by playing it and aspiring to be an agent or being in business, and you're changing lives and communities and people's giving them a purpose. So yeah. Sport is bigger than just what the dollars and cents of the game
I
is
would
making.
Agree, and I think that like Tom Brady has redefined greatness in sports. Mm-hmm. And redefine
the rules of the other sport as well, because right. The protection of a quarterback helps him play longer and dominate longer.
That's a legitimate point to say the rules have been manipulated in a way. But again, we've never seen this before. A 40-year-old win MVP of his league. A 41-year-old now go to his third straight Super Bowl. A 40-year-old buy into a system and a coaching staff and a culture that has allowed one team to be dominant in this league for damn near 20 years. And so I get, and again, I'm telling you, love to have the conversation tomorrow or later in the show about
that. Here's some more sports elements. LeBron James has helped globalize the game of basketball. More kids are raising their hand to be basketball players than they are football players right now. Football is having a 20% drop off in participation level at the youth level. If Tom Brady's affecting sport to the point where it's getting globalized and it's going down to the youth level where more participants, that's a strong argument.
I think you make a great point about basketball being globalized and the NBA being globalized. You're crediting LeBron for what Michael Jordan actually did. LeBron's brand, come on, man. LeBron's brand does not compare to Michael Jordan's brand in America or globally.
No.
The guy's still selling more shoes than damn near everybody combined. Let's don't kid ourselves. Michael Jordan did that. I get we live in a culture now where we credit LeBron for everything.
Are you going to let LeBron get some catch-up time?
Neil Armstrong walked on the moon. LeBron was a part of everything.
Somebody who's
that.
In the third quarter, you comparing him to the stats of somebody who finished the game already, has 10
LeBron's
years.
LeBron's 16 years into his career.
And still rolling. That's the thing. We don't know where this is going.
In terms of global, he will not surpass Michael Jordan.
You could say that. I could agree with you. But I'm not going to sit there and...
Let me ask the other question, and hopefully this one's not so... More so difficult to comprehend.
Are you looking for an agreement? You want
to? No, I'm not looking for agreement.
I'm sorry. You know what?
The question was ambiguous.
My bad.
You're asking for a definitive.
I'll agree.
First, Marcellus.
Yes.
Just understand. I never stated an opinion. I just started probing y'all. Mm-hmm. I never came down on a side. I just started probing y'all. I asked you first. I never stated an opinion. Second part. Mm-hmm. More remarkable path to greatness.
I need my notes.
Tom Brady. Or LeBron James?
LeBron James.
Pressure from the door, being on Sports Illustrated from the door, that has ruined a lot of kids' lives, and the pressure of being great and holding that greatness and getting better, that is what separates somebody who started from a different place of being the underdog, having to work, having to chase someone else, having to earn a spot. That is a different process, but to be on top and stay on top, to be 17 years old and go into a league full of men who are aiming for your head. It's one thing to be 6'9", 240, but it's another thing to be at 17, but it's another thing to be 25 or 30 and 6'9", 240. You have a different type of strength, and to be able to dominate from day one and get better and climb is different from somebody that did not have that much pressure on them. And even if they didn't be the best quarterback in the league, you weren't supposed to because you didn't start from
playing with house money in some respects. Look, it's LeBron James again. Here's the thing. He never stepped in it. Like, think about his greatest scandal. You want to go to when he gave $5 million to the Boys Club and held the city of Cleveland captive while he was trying to make a decision in terms of free agency? Or you want to go back to when he was 16 and the Hummer scandal? But he's never stepped in it. Nothing. You have to reach to even find scandal associated with his greatness. And he's always been under the spotlight. Now, you said it's very difficult to do that. Kobe Bryant was under the spotlight from a young age. I knew of Kobe Bryant, Lower Merion, and all that. Kobe stepped in it. You want to talk about Tiger Woods. And he was 2 years old and people heard about Tiger Woods. He stepped in it as well. And LeBron has never stepped in that way. So that's one. Then if you look at LeBron James in terms of his career path all the way to this level of being the king and his game, last year was his best season statistically. Like, in your 15th year, people are still looking at you like, when are you going to come down the mountain? Where Tom Brady is still dynastic in terms of team success, but individually, looking at his numbers, he has some career lows this year.
More remarkable path to greatness. Now, LeBron was born with a lot of physical gifts that Tom Brady's joking about that he wasn't. I'll say this, and that's not because LeBron's path is remarkable, but he's not the first to be anointed. There was a guy named Lew Alcindor that changed his name to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, came out of Power High School in New York. He was, again, it's a different era. They didn't have social media. They didn't, you know, Sports Illustrated wasn't so powerful, things like that. But Lew Alcindor was the chosen one before the chosen one and retired with, I think, six MVP rings, several trophies.
But that has nothing
He's
to do.
He's the leading scorer in the greatest of all time. So it's not unprecedented. Is that,
but
chosen.
Can you name two others that did like Lew Alcindor did it?
No, I can't, but I'm just saying it's not unprecedented. So. But I haven't seen someone that looked as sloppy as Brady at the combine, gets drafted at 199th in the league, and ascends to be the greatest player at the most important position in sports, in the most important game in sports, and do it for two decades.
But with
that's
scandal.
An incredible.
But with scandal, with Gates, Gates. I mean, there was there's some Gates there. Like LeBron didn't even have Gates.
Got you.
Like
I don't think of that much as scandal. But I hear you.
I'll eliminate even the scandal. When you look at Tom Brady, what they did and what they are doing is to be commended. When I look at Tom Brady and how he has gotten to where he is, you can argue his point and say, well, Belichick and a system has helped Tom Brady. Where you look at LeBron, he is basically the coach and the system. And you have to cater to what he does best in order to win, in order to be successful. That's how great his path has been. Look, you're going to conform to me. I'm not going to so much. And it's not that he can't. I believe that he could. But I don't think that he would achieve as great things that he has in his career if he wasn't willing to be that guy that says, you know what? It has to go through me.
I think you've made an excellent point. There's two sides to that. Some would argue he should have given himself to a coach and a system the way Michael Jordan eventually did with Phil Jackson, and he would have achieved even farther. That there actually is what Brady did, what Michael did, some of that is to be commended. LeBron chose a different route. And again, if you're born with that many gifts, and if you're born into the kind of poverty and situation where LeBron has always depended upon himself, I don't half blame him for always relying on LeBron James. He's always fixed his own problems, and I think some of that manifests himself as a professional athlete. Tomorrow, maybe you should give an opinion. We're going to discuss these topics that y'all want to talk about. Stick around later in the show. We'll give you our latest approval ratings for Tom Brady, and Uncle Jimmy will weigh in. Uncle Jimmy, you got any early thoughts?
LeBron and Brady ain't opposites. They got similar money. Just like you and my ex-wife, Maydessa, got similar weight sizes.
Damn, Maydessa.
I love PristineAuction.com, an online sports auction where you can bid on and win authentic sports memorabilia from the comfort of your home. PristineAuction.com offers a daily auction where all bids start at just $1. This means an auction is ending soon. No waiting, so hurry over and check it out now. In addition to the daily auction, they also have several other formats, including a 10-minute auction, which is great. Items pop up for just 10 minutes, rapid fire. Some of these deals we are seeing are insane. Don't miss out. They guarantee the authenticity of all their items, and everything you purchase comes fully authenticated by only the most trusted sources. And the best part? It's so affordable. I just saw an autographed Magic Johnson photo that sold for only $12. Go check out pristineauction.com now. You'll be hooked. It's free to register, free to bid, and you only pay for the items you win. That's Pristine Auction, spelled P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, auction.com. And when you register, be sure to select Speak for Yourself from the drop-down menu in the How Did You Hear About Us section. This lets them know I sent you.
All right, welcome back. Whitlock and Wiley. Greg Jennings is back, and joining us now is TJ Husmanzada. Time for a big story. Let's move to Atlanta, where the Rams will make their first Super Bowl appearance in 17 years on Sunday. After Sean McVay engineered a remarkable turnaround last season, Los Angeles decided to go all in on this year, shelling out big money for stars like Aaron Donald and Todd Gurley, as well as bringing in several big-name players through trades and free agency, including key pieces like Brandon Cooks, Ndamukong Suh, Aqib Talib, Marcus Peters, and Dante Fowler. All right. Will this be the wave of the future? I think no, because I think Stan Kroenke and this Los Angeles market is one of the few markets that can shell out all that upfront cash that it took to bring all those players in. I don't think the Clark Hunts of the world and a bunch of other teams, only they want to shell out all that upfront cash.
Yeah, I don't think that it will be the wave. I think it's smart money spent and spent wisely, and it to this point has worked. Think about what the Rams did. They looked at a losing proposition, which is a quest for an NFL championship. Of all of us sitting up here, only one of us has a ring, and it's Greg over there. 97% of all NFL teams every single year know that they're going home frowning. Only one team wins, only one team gets the crown, 31 L's. And they decided in a losing proposition to get themselves the best hand. And it's weird to me that the psychology around, do you want a super team? And most people say, no. It's crazy because you want the best hand. If you're going to Vegas and they're like, the odds are against you, you're like, well, give me a bad hand too. No, I want the best hand even in a losing proposition. What's amazing about what the Rams did is they actually hid the most important element of having some kind of chemistry and continuity. Their offensive line. All five offensive linemen started all 16 games together. And we get lost in the sauce and talking about, oh, this new addition. But they kept continuity where they needed it most. I wish more teams would think like this and bring in a super team and stack the deck.
Yeah, I don't think that this will be a trend that we see in the National Football League, although teams may want to do it. But you bring up a good point. I want to add to that. They're in a market where they needed to make a splash. They were fighting just getting fans to games. So what easier way to attract fans than to, number one, win, but to have players that are intriguing to watch every single Sunday. And then you have a structure in place, in-house, with a young coach who's relatable, translation to players is right on their level. And then you bring in a Wade Phillips who's older, who's experienced, but we see what he did with Aqib Talib down at the Super Bowl. Mm. That's who he is. Players love him. He has the wisdom, the smarts, the know-how. They did everything that they needed to do to be able to be successful and to handle personalities. Every team isn't built like that, and every team can't follow that model.
The thing is which teams feel they're two or three pieces away next year? The Rams felt going into this season, if we can add a couple guys, this could put us over the hump.
Seattle,
number next one, year. They have the money to do it if they want to do it. They can afford to give up that upfront money. But if you look at the Rams' moves, Ndamukong Suh, Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib, defensively, they're worse this year than they were last year. So did it really help them? It helped them in name recognition, but did it really help them on the field? Last year, they were 12th in points allowed. This year, they're 20th. That's a huge drop-off. So teams that feel we're two or three players away, whether it's offensively or defensively, I think it's a smart gamble. But everybody has to realize they're one-year deals. Aqib Talib, he might not be back next year. Ndamukong Suh, he might not be back next year. Marcus Peters, I'm sure they'll pick up his option because he's young. But they're not long-term deals. It's 1 year. Let's see if we can strike real quick, and then we can move on if we don't like it.
Well, you get yourself some equity. You get yourself some runway when you get that championship. You worry about those problems when you get there.
Yes.
So many franchises are sitting there in NFL just wanting that one championship, let alone worrying about trying to go to consecutive and go back-to-back. So I look at the Rams. It was a smart play. You got to make a splash in L.A. They actually landed and made a splash. And then the record with Jeff Fisher in his first year, when you go 4-12, that'll do it. The Coliseum was packed game one preseason. 90,000 people there. Yeah, they're playing the Cowboys. But everybody in L.A. was like, we don't know if you guys are good or not. Actually, from St. Louis, you weren't. You're 7-9 or 8-8 every single year. But L.A. was ready. And then they did this. And I think what has really helped is the fact that this team put in, like, Voltron pieces. And they had a core. Like you said, they were close. But then they wet the bed against Atlanta in the first playoff game last year. This is a team that was close, said, let's keep our O-line intact. Let's just add a couple of pieces to give us some dog. What they lost was some dog in the fight last year that they gained from those negative pitches.
Whitlock and Wiley, we're joined once again by NBA champion Dante Jones. Let's move to New Orleans, where the Anthony Davis trade drama could be spiraling into a full-blown feud. The Pelicans actually removed images of Davis from a hype video that played before last night's loss to the Nuggets. The team claimed they did it so fans wouldn't boo Davis. But the New York Times' Mark Stein reports that the team is considering sitting Davis the whole season if they can't move him before next week's trade deadline. This is turning into what would we call this, World War III? Kawhi was war world. He set out. LeBron had a war with the Cleveland Cavaliers originally. Now we got, now we got Anthony Davis may sitting out.
Right.
Kristaps Porzingis is demanding a trade. LeBron's really made the NBA great. We got players sitting out for years at a time. This is awesome. This is good for the NBA.
There's your opinion. Here it comes out. I knew you were going to pick a side before the show was over. This is a horrible look. Disgusting. Terrible. It undermines the economic model of the NBA, which is basically the cat's out the bag that we're using small market teams as farm systems. If you let Anthony Davis get his way in this situation, NBA, that's why they find him. Oh, my. These players, unless they're exactly where they want to be, doing exactly what they want to do, they're going to force a circumstance and change of scenery. That's bad for the NBA. Great for Anthony Davis. Respect to Anthony Davis for going into that locker room and telling each player, hey, man, it ain't personal. Strictly business, EPMD. And the player should be fine with that because you never know as a player where you're going to end up before your career is over. That said, when did the NBA start taking notes from college football? And you know what? Once my value is at its peak level, you know, forget that bowl game. You know, forget the rest of this season until I get what I want. And this is a bad look, bad optics in so many facets because the NBA can't be dictated to in this respect.
I agree with you. It's a bad look for the NBA.
It's
a bad look. But I don't have a problem with the players because it's not that many players that can do what Anthony Davis and Porzingis are doing. Because even Lonzo, when Lonzo was saying that he doesn't want to go, like, people are looking at him like he's crazy. Like, nah, like, you got to worry about your game first, and then you tell me where we're going. However, did you look at Blake Griffin and have some sympathy for him when the Clippers sold him this huge dream of what you were going to be, your jersey in the Raptors when we're done, and you're going to be the greatest Clipper of all time. And then we trade you the next year? Did you have that same type of sympathy for him?
I did.
Because he had a free agency decision to move and do what he wanted to and be a part of that dream. And as soon as they get the opportunity to change their dream, they're going to move on from you.
As a fan, my sympathy only goes so far, though.
But as the fan, do you have the same sympathy when the player buys in and the organization just moves on when they want to? I don't understand that. Just because he's giving money?
$100 million. There's people watching that.
But you could give.
Making $100,000. Ain't making $70,000.
Different. They don't have the skill set. They don't have the.
They didn't win the genetics lottery. Yes.
Okay, maybe so. But they had the opportunity to make money and. they don't feel sorry if you use your mind to do these type of things. It's people making way more than Blake with their minds.
Yeah, but I'm with Anthony Davis. So, I'm in full support of player empowerment. I'm just saying it's bad for the NBA because now for us to settle our differences, it means we got to take you out of video imagery. It means
that's
now,
fine. Do it. Go ahead.
That's
do
the
it.
Beginning, and because that means the team's in their feelings.
Storylines is what makes the NBA, and those things are what keeps the fans.
You know what? Stars on the court makes the NBA go.
Also, with the storylines, people in New Orleans that bought season tickets. Full expectations of watching Anthony Davis
or winning. Did you want to buy? Because, I had somebody say to me, I don't know who the star player in the Brooklyn Nets is, but did you want a star in Brooklyn or did you want a winning team? And what are you buying tickets for? Do you want winning product? Because they have a winning product
Uber
right now.
I was today with an African-American gentleman, probably 56, 57 years old. Him and his girl been, for the past month, literally, he told me this, praying for LeBron James to be healthy tonight when he plays the Clippers because they bought tickets and they want to see LeBron James.
That ain't happening.
And it's not happening.
No.
And he's disappointed.
Yeah.
Fans, I got my lawyer's grandson is flying in here with his granddaddy and his father March 1st to see LeBron and the Greek Freak. Mm. Be very disappointed if LeBron's not there. This is what fans do. And it is when Anthony Davis, when Kawhi Leonard last year, you're disappointing fan base. And it all sounds great. And hey, the players, they get to do the. But over time, you keep feeding fans disappointment.
No, you're just switching fan bases. You're some fans are going to be disappointed. Some fans are going to be happy. You never please all the people all the time. So if when Anthony Davis moves on to his new team, he gets a whole new set of fans, and those New Orleans Pelicans fans are going to be upset. But you're going to switch. You're going to have haters and fans regardless when you play in this league. You're not going to have everybody love you. So fans just switch. It's not like the NBA is losing fans. They just switch sides like they do anyway.
Yeah, poor Uber driver. We don't beat them boys 22 out of the last 25. Doesn't he not? It doesn't matter if LeBron
one last thing that's kind of interesting before we let Dante go. Mark Stein is saying the Mavericks are going to trade for Porzingis. That would be fascinating. Doncic and Porzingis together in Dallas, that would be fascinating.
They have the assets. If they have the assets to make New York Knicks better, then that works. And Porzingis has to buy into the direction of the organization and be happy with that. If he's not going to sign back with the team coming up and does not want to be there, then you give the organization the opportunity to grab assets and move forward and get somebody that wants to be there, because there's always going to be somebody that wants to be there. Mm.
Do you like the fact that the Lakers are offering up everyone for Anthony Davis? Like even Kuzma?
Yes, win now.
Okay.
Win now. Win now at this point in time. And I like the fact that because New Orleans is going to get a great group of kids that want to win and want to be something and are striving to be better players.
That don't
want to
be there.
Get somebody else that wants to be there. But the core of the group.
Los Angeles Daily News just said the Lakers just added Jack Nicholson to their trade.
And Jack want to be a part of the Pelicans too.
Hey guys, Jason Whitlock, Marcellus Wiley here. Thanks for listening to the Speak for Yourself podcast. If you're looking for more Super Bowl Sunday fun, here's your answer. During the game, come hang out with us at the Fox Sports Super Bowl party. From in-depth analysis to hilarious bet payoffs, this is sure to be the craziest Super Bowl event you've ever seen. Join in on the fun with Mark Schlereth, Dean Blandino, TJ Husmanzada, and Jason McIntyre on the Fox Sports Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube pages, or foxsports.com, starting at 6:15 p.m. Eastern. TJ Husmanzada is back. Time for my favorite segment. Got my Twitter off right here. Time to get anti-social. Darnell Smith, our social media manager, is here. What's crack-a-lacking?
Yes, sir. Starting off with the GOAT, Tom Brady. Right. You would think after non-Super Bowl appearances, all the haters would go away, right? Well, apparently not. A local Pittsburgh news station fired an employee for labeling Brady a known cheater during his Monday newscast. This screenshot went viral immediately, and obviously the guy's joking here. I mean, I got no problem with it. Are you guys surprised he got fired for this troll job?
I think it's an overreaction.
Definitely.
You do?
Fired for a joke?
But you know what's weird? Something that is in script is something different than if you hear it. Like, we always say he's cheated or scandal, and it's like, but when you write it, and then you're in a professional setting that's supposed to be a little more objective than what we're doing here, I kind of laughed at it. I was like, oh, man, that joke went wrong. You know, he tried to go somewhere and got caught out. So, yes, overreaction, but I also like the fact that it corrects for everyone else out there who's going to try to take those kind of shots.
Come on, man. That man shouldn't have been fired for that. It's a joke. Even if it didn't go over smoothly, suspending for a couple weeks, you going to fire the man? They dead wrong for that. No way you... It's a, and he's in Pittsburgh. He probably felt like he probably got cheated.
That's the funny part. Like, he's like, oh, we all in on this, right? And then as soon as the teacher or the principal came out, they're like, oh, everybody backed up out of there. Like, that's on you, bro.
Right.
That's kind of funny. Like, you went there for everyone else's reaction, and their reaction is actually
what got you in trouble. Can you imagine when they told him he was getting fired? He probably was like, I was just playing.
I will say this. We don't know what his personnel file looks like. This might not be his first offense.
Yeah, exactly. And you can't have him in Pittsburgh. The Steeler games next year with all the issues they got going on, you don't know what shots.
He's probably been worn before. Huh?
Yeah.
What's next, Darnell?
Damn. Yeah, moving on to the smartest guy in football, Joe Klatt, who tweeted this hard-hitting, serious question to his followers. You have a 10-hour drive ahead of you. What is the car, album, and three people you got with you? So I want to hear from you guys. Which album and three people you want to bring on your drive?
All right, I'm going to go first because I put a lot of thought into this.
Okay, I really did.
Jodeci is my favorite group of all time.
All right.
And then so I had to decide between Diary of a Mad Band or the show, the party, the after party, the show, the hotel, the after party.
It's 10 hours. You can get through all them.
I'm going with Diary of a Mad Band and Jodeci. And then my three people are Michelle Alexander, that wrote probably one of my favorite books of all time, The New Jim Crow. It's about mass incarceration. David Simon made my favorite television show of all time, The Wire. And then I like to laugh and crack jokes, so Chris Rock would be my third person.
Oh, man. Okay.
You really thought about
that. Yeah, you really
thought
about that. Oh, DJ, you got something?
All I got is I know I'm banging Tupac.
Yeah.
I go through all of those.
Yeah.
And I would prefer to be in a sprinter so that I can be
relaxed. Oh, you got it.
It's a 10-hour road trip.
We going somewhere.
Yeah. And my three people, I mean, I didn't even think about it. I'm always with my family, so I'm like, let's go.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, can I borrow your sprinter? Because I got an Escalade written down here because I was like, I got to drive, but the sprinter drive me, fool.
There you go.
I like that. Outkast, Southern Player Listed, Cadillac.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
We got to pump that from the beginning all the way through. And then I'm going to bring my sister, my best friend, who's a clown, OG Tiki Hennilok. And then I'm gonna bring I need Ice Cube. I need Ice Cube in the car with me because he inspired me so much. He helped raise me, didn't even know he did. And then the third person, dang, it gotta be like a video vixen from like 04. I'm sorry.
Hey, well, your wife, she ain't watching this show at all. No. She working out. She ain't watching.
We just had a baby. She ain't watching for like 2 hours. You good to go. Somebody from back in the day. Give me one of them, man. We just got to ride out. My sister there to keep it all, you know, separate.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Darnell, you got an album?
Listen, album, I'm going more the mixtape route. I'm going to go Lil Wayne, No Ceilings.
Ooh.
It's one of the best mixtapes out. He's freestyling the whole album. And for the three people, I was gonna say one of y'all, but y'all ain't put me on y'all list. I'm gonna go with Kobe Bryant, Peyton Manning, and I gotta be my boy Weezy, man. He's a GOAT. Easy, he gonna be freestyling the whole run.
Wait, you got him in the speakers and next
year? Yeah. I might turn the music down and let him just freestyle.
Darnell, we were gonna pick you, but your lats ain't no room in that sprinter.
We the same size.
Let's go to the last one.
Oh, all right, man. So Shaq, you know, has been asking Kobe why he's not in the GOAT conversation, and Colin and Joy had an interesting take on it on the Herd this morning. Take a listen.
Very rarely is a Dallas Cowboy, a Pittsburgh Steeler, or a Los Angeles Laker, or a New York Yankee overlooked in a greatest debate?
Yeah, but I weirdly think that plays a factor into it because most of the country hates the Lakers. So, like, we're not going to even give Kobe that nod.
Is there truth to this?
He's a knockoff of Michael Jordan.
Ah, man.
If you got Michael Jordan and he's the GOAT, why would you put a knockoff in the conversation?
Come on, Whitlock. You're going to get fired, the Pittsburgh dude. Like, there are better ways to term Kobe Bryant.
He's a knockoff.
2.0 sounds better than knockoff.
Thank you.
I mean, a knockoff? Like, everyone's a knockoff.
He does. He's a knockoff.
Come on, Whitlock.
Everybody steals game from others who did it well before them. Yeah, Kobe just, you know what? It's just been a roller coaster with
Kobe. We out of time. He's a knockoff.
Yeah.
I'm a Laker fan. He's not a knockoff.
He's tripping.
But he's not Michael Jordan, and right now he's not LeBron James.
Ah, that's when you lost me.
Real talk.
All right, time now for Darnell's question of the day. Darnell, take it over.
It's Darnell's My question of the day. My question.
Question
of the day.
285 pounds.
Yeah.
Buckley.
That and Lil Wayne in the sprinter. Huh?
Yeah. All right, guys. So we're all former athletes here, and lucky for us, we've been able to find our next career path. But for a lot of young athletes and a lot of my friends and former teammates, there's a tough transition figuring out what's next for them. So what advice would you give young athletes during this tough transition from sports to the real world?
My thing is, what I got into sports writing, not for the financial gain, not ever thinking about, I literally thought at age 50, I would make $70,000 a year and I'd be happy as heck. Follow what you love. I wanted to stay connected to sports. That's why I went into sports writing. Love to read the newspaper. If you follow something, if you get into a career that you love, it'll never feel like work, and you'll do it to the best of your ability.
Love that. Love that. Mentally, in terms of identity, never internalize and swallow that you're a football player. Play football, man. Like, I see too many cats who, in terms of trying to be committed to something, they are fully involved and not thinking about anything else outside of that in terms of your academic pursuits, in terms of your other interests. Like, it's a means to an end. So too many guys think that they are the ball. But when the ball stops bouncing, who are you? And that's a sad drop for a lot of guys who don't realize that before that moment.
For college athletes, it's always saying, use football, don't let football use you. And so go get your degree and try to get a good job. If you're a professional athlete, I would say once you get to about 60 to 70% into your career, past the halfway point, start trying to plan on something that you like Jason said, so that as soon as you're done, you can try to transition right into it, because we've been living our whole lives on itinerary. Yeah. Be here at this time, be here at that time. And so when you don't have anything to do, you wake up whenever you want. Transition is immediate, as fast as you can immediately. Yeah.
But it kind of touched on your point about the college athletes. It's hard for you. You've been putting all this work and time and effort into this one game. Literally, like for me, when I played the game, you know, my grade school, the school part was easy. Like I was gonna get my grades, that wasn't nothing. So my focus was football. So my career ended with a knee injury. And once I got hurt, it was like, all right, like, move on, find out, like, figure out life. And for a young man,
that's
it's very
rare,
difficult
though,
to figure out that next step.
Everybody at every school in America, and you know this, think they're playing in the NFL exactly. Or they think they're making it to the NBA. And so you have to be realistic and say, let me get this degree, because the chances of me making it are slim, right. And slim. We don't think like that, because we all think we're making it.
One last thing that I tell young people, and Darnell, you've seen me talk to the Ball State football team, and I say it all the time. If somehow you can avoid taking on lifelong responsibilities at 21, 22, 23, you will be a success. Opportunities will come knocking at your door. And what I mean by that is, try not to have a baby before age 25. Wear a condom.
Nice.
Avoid all of that. You got a great chance of being successful. All right, welcome back. Whitlock and Wiley. We're joined now by Seahawks Pro Bowl wide receiver Tyler Lockett, the son of Kevin Lockett, who is in Atlanta for the Super Bowl. Tyler, welcome to the show. And I was told you were watching our question of the day from the previous segment about transitioning from an athlete into the rest of your career. And you had some thoughts?
Yeah, definitely. First off, thanks for allowing me to be on the show. Secondly, yeah, after hearing what you guys were talking about on Question of the Day, I love to kind of be able to say like a little bit of advice that I think will be able to work as well.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I liked everything that you guys said, and I just want to kind of say it a little different. I think the biggest thing is focus on plan A and live it out. But whenever you're still playing, especially when you're in college, prepare for plan B, which is like what you guys said. But I want to say, like, when you're a freshman in college, put 80% to your plan A and put 20% to plan B. So everything that you're doing whenever you're in practice, you're going 100%. You're going hard at it, right? But, you know, when you get off the field, what are the things we like to do? We like to sit in the house, chill, get away from people, because it's like, oh, my gosh, you're Tyler Lockett. Can I get an autograph? But it's like, no, this is when plan B comes into play. this is when you get to know everybody. You get to build relationships. You get to meet them, and you get to be able to do things for them even when they can't do anything for you. That's how my dad got a job after playing at Kansas State. That's how my uncle got a job at working at Phillips 66 Corporation. It's those things. As you continue to get closer and closer to where you know your career is ending, that's when you get to 60-40. That's when you get the 40-60. So when you know your career is coming to an end, you start to put more of a percentage on what plan B is. So once you're done playing, you already got plan B lined up. You already got that scholarship. If you made it to the league and you're at 40-60, you've already made as much money as you needed to make. Now the plan is, what was your purpose? Throughout freshman year, all the way to when you finally finish playing, even if you make it to the league, you already utilize and prepare for that purpose. Now that you prepare for that purpose, now it's time for you to go out there and make it happen. Because where's purpose is, you don't worry about the money. The money finds you. Where do you find purpose?
Mm. Damn, you know what?
Well, you could come back. One-way ticket from Atlanta right here in our studio.
Thank you. That's what I'm saying. His plan B is to take our job.
Yeah, exactly, man. Respect to you and your passion for that.
If it's paid for, I'm there.
And respect to you also for your production. Breakout season for you and another great season for your quarterback, Russell Wilson, who still seems underappreciated. How is this level of success and that continued greatness being overlooked?
I think the biggest thing, man, is it's just all about efficiency, and it's all about being able to make the best out of your opportunities. But also, like, it's sometimes it's a good thing to be overlooked. Not saying that people can't handle whenever you're the face of the whole world, but it just allows you to be able to have more of that grit. It allows you to be able to have more of that type of feeling that you need to be able to prove people wrong. If you have everybody on your side telling you everything you want to know, it might be harder for you to be able to play at a big-time level. But to be able to have people still questioning you, still doubting you, asking each year, can you be that same player? Can he be able to lead a team and do all this type of stuff? It allows you to be able to have that type of mentality to be able to take this team to the next level. And that's exactly what he does on our team. He takes us to the next level, not only on the field, but also preparing for us to be able to know how to handle this business while we're off the field.
Tyler, I covered your dad's career at Kansas State and with the Kansas City Chiefs. You played at Kansas State for Bill Snyder, the same coach as your dad. What was that like? What will you remember most about playing for the man I consider as great as any coach in the history of college football, Bill Snyder?
Yeah, well, I'll try to make this one quick. The biggest thing that I learned from Coach Snyder is to prepare for everything. Prepare for the worst and to be ready for the best. I think whenever we talk about Coach Snyder, he respects the military basis, and that's how he tries to run his program. But everything that he did, he made you question it, he made you doubt it, and he made you question if you even wanted to be able to play this game of football. He weeded out the people who said, I want to go to the league, because they didn't really want it the way that they said that they wanted. He made sure if you really wanted it, then I'm going to take you to a place where you feel like you will never be able to go. I'm going to get you out of your comfort zone. I'm going to make you I'm going to turn you into a man, not only for preparing you for football, but I'm going to make sure you really want it, because you still got to make sure you take care of them grades when you're taking 15 hours. So when I look back at everything that he taught me, he made me transition into the NFL a lot more easier. Why? Because football is the only thing I got to do now. Football is my job. I don't have to worry about them study hall hours anymore. I don't have to worry about them 28, 30 sprints that I had to do on top of the 15 hours I had to do. He taught me how to be able to time manage. And I think that's the biggest thing that I needed to know moving forward to be able to get into the career that I wanted to be in.
All right, before we let you go, tell us about your partnership with Pizza Hut.
Yeah, well, first I want to say it's a blessing to work with Pizza Hut. This is one of the things that I used to do whenever I was at home watching the NFL football with my dad on TV, hoping that I could have a chance to play in a league. But never did I know that I would be able to have an amazing company such as Pizza Hut to be able to allow me to sponsor them. And we've done amazing things such as reading books to kids with the Book It program, allowing them to be able to see that knowledge is power. And one of the other things that I really love is the fact that you get 20% off right now on Sunday if you buy wings or pizza. And you know what that means. When you get 20% off at the NFL shop, that means go get yourself a Tyler Lockett jersey.
Ah, there it is. I love it.
Tyler, man. Greatest interview, yes. Greatest guest we've ever had.
Yes.
Your dad, I'm sure, is watching and very proud.
And tell your pops I said, what's up? We came out the same draft year. Wow.
Time to put on our thinking caps. And we've got a full desk today.
Ooh, wow.
Greg Jennings, TJ Husmanzada, and Dante Jones are back with us. As you all know, I'm a journalist, and we've got our resident Ivy Leaguer Marcellus here, Columbia's very own. Take a deeper look at a touchy subject in sports. Got a special cap for Marcellus.
That's
Darnell,
right.
Bring
and
it out.
Special glasses.
Oh, oh yeah, we still got the glass. Oh, that's a different pair of glasses.
Yeah, you
oh,
know man. What?
Bring the Gucci's back.
I got bring those. The Gucci's is the next thing in cap. These are my Cartiers that I've never worn, and I've had them for 20 years. Isn't that crazy?
All right, get ready. We're moving on.
Ghetto.
All right, let's move to Colin Kaepernick, who not surprisingly came up during Roger Goodell's wide-ranging State of the League press conference yesterday. Goodell was asked about the fact that the quarterback still hasn't found a new job in the NFL and said very simply that a team would sign him if they thought he would help them win. Of course, the comment sparked outrage in social media land, including from Cap's longtime girlfriend, Nessa, who tweeted, quote, simply put, Roger Goodell is full of bleep and keeps lying about why the league has blackballed Kaepernick. Nessa's been Cap's most aggressive supporter for years, and it's hardly the first time she's come after the NFL in very harsh terms. Not going to ask, this is not a discussion about Nessa. Mm. It is a discussion about partners. And the reason why I wanted to do this with all of you, you're all married. Hmm. You all know what an athlete should be looking for, a high-profile person should be looking for in a woman or in a wife, in a partner, in a companion. And I just want to be clear because I'm going to keep it 100% transparent. All four of you married to black women. I just want to make that clear. I want the viewers to know. Anyway, I'm not married. Y'all the experts. This is not a conversation about Nessa. This is about, I see a lot of young people, I got to find me a ride or die girl. Mm. And I'm like, no, you need somebody to ride and live. Someone, don't get someone that can help you drive off a cliff.
Yeah.
Get someone that can help you elevate. Yeah. Anyway, Marcellus, the rest of you, take it over. What should an athlete be looking for?
A pro athlete. Look, full disclosure, I wasn't married while I was active in the league because, yeah, that part.
it's hard.
The speed of life in the league is going at the speed of light. And to be married is a full-time job. You're talking about a nearly fully formed individual who you have to constantly be in communication with and constantly learn about yourself while you're really learning about yourself. So the world is exposing you to new things. You're climbing this hill of success, and you're in the playground. I mean, you're in the league. You not only are making millions of dollars, but when you land in a foreign city, you get an envelope with per diem, and they're like, go have fun. And you're like, you give me $200 on top of $2 million? It's just insanity. And the women, the number one reason why I kept getting engaged and I kept calling them off, and I'm not proud, you stop that laughing. I'm not proud of it, is because I kept realizing I am not ready. I am not fully formed. And the temptations that started in my mind, because those were the visions I had of wanting to be an athlete. Outside the game, I wanted to live it up. And when I got to the league, I was living it up. And I was like, I'm not going to go down that path until I am ready. So it took me to post-retirement to kind of, now let me see who I am. What's my life really going to be about? What highlights am I going to create in front of me? And where's my partner that can enhance that and I can do the same for them? But in the league, hey, kudos to y'all who did it, because, boy, I wasn't ready for it.
Well, I come from a different perspective. I was married my last year of college going into the National Football League, and it gave me a different perspective. It gave me a foundation, someone that I could bounce ideas off of. And so when I see something like this, I knew there are certain things that I could handle because of my wife. And the reason why I say that is because the moment something transpired, I went home and the first person to hear my side of how I wanted to just vent without filter was my wife. And she gave me perspective on, babe, this is what could happen. This is how things could turn out to be. And it was the same way for her. And I think that's what you're looking for. You're looking for that balance. You're not going to always agree. You're not going to always disagree. But you're going to have moments like this where, is this the right judgment call? Should I? My wife's Twitter feed gets lit up because of things that I've done, because of the choices that I've made of just moving, going from Green Bay to the Vikings. But she has to still handle herself in a way to where you know what, babe? I'm not going to make the situation any better if I go out and I pour into what I really want to say. So I'm just going to stay in my place and make sure that you are getting what you need, not what everybody else wants or expect me to do. That's what I was looking for, and that's what I've gotten. Mm.
I got married middle towards the end of my career, and I was looking for someone that was supportive, understanding, that was intelligent, that was driven, somebody that I could support when my career was over. I wanted somebody that that could understand the grind that I was going through mentally and physically, and could understand how the trajectory of a career. Somebody who could understand that not jumping into my career would be the best thing for my career, and giving me a perspective and talking about something and talking you through rather than just jumping off on Twitter and doing that thing. Because now that I'm out of my career, I wouldn't do that at her job. So I wanted somebody that was driven and could give me perspective, but also was intelligent and was going to drive me to be better as well.
See, for me, it was a support. I met my wife when I was in junior college out here. We didn't get married until, I want to say, going into my fourth year. It was that summer.
Fourth year of college?
Fourth year in the league. But I had my first daughter going into my senior year of college. And then I had my second daughter in my second year in the league. And for me, you know, you always hear about, it's two different sides. Get married after you're done playing, mm-hmm. or at least meet her before, because you don't know these women's intentions and are their intentions pure? Are they with you for you? And for me, I was a seventh round pick. And so when I get drafted, my wife or my girlfriend at the time, she'd be like, she called me all the time in training. I'm like, would you stop calling me with this?
In training camp.
Yeah, it's on the computer. You're going to get cut. You're going to get released. Mm. I'm the best receiver on the team. I ain't getting that. Don't even worry about it. And that was my mentor. But she supported me, and she believed what I said. Coming home, she had her own money. Her grandmother, they had a bunch of property out here. And so I knew she was with me for me. My biggest thing is the support. And so when I suffer, she suffered. Played the Baltimore right when I'm playing with Baltimore, and I dropped that ball against Pittsburgh. Man, I must have got to my locker, and Audie, you okay? Mm-hmm. I'm okay, but I'm really not okay.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and so we just get there, and after time goes by, you know, the trash talking begin. How the hell did you drop that ball? I'm like, if I knew it, I wouldn't have dropped the ball. But initially, that support and just being there, when you feel like you've done something wrong, she'll give you her perspective, and I'll give her my perspective on why I think she's wrong with what she's saying. But it's an ebb and flow. And just knowing that somebody is there for you, and not for what you have or what you can offer or do for them, for me was most important.
Dante, I wanted to ask you a follow-up because I don't know everybody else's wife's career, but Dante's wife's career is kind of public, and it's a big-time executive role. What has that been like for you, having been the athlete, professional athlete, and now transitioning where your wife has a bigger job than you, per se?
It's been amazing because now all the support that she's given me over my career, I can give it back to her. Right now, I'm at home with my kids for a week by myself, and I understand the plight that she had when she was grinding at home while I was moving around or on different teams or going in between teams. It's just I'm trying to give the same support that she gave me, the undeniable support, the no questions asked, we're going to do the best thing for our family. I'm trying to give her the same thing that she gives back, and I'm proud of her because of her grind. I've got a chance to watch her grow, watch her think things into action and aspire to be, and just to see her be a better person on a daily basis is awesome.
Greg, I want to juxtapose you versus Marcellus. I hear from Marcellus, like, waiting to get married maybe enhanced his playing career. He could just focus on his career. Do you think you could have had the football career you had you not been married to your wife?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure I do, because she gave me that stability to where I wasn't out looking for other things. I knew what I had. It's almost like she was my accountability.
Yeah.
Where I knew what was out there, and I looked, but I knew I couldn't grab, and I could only go so far. And that gave me a sense of accountability to where, you know what? I have a beautiful wife at home. I have a beautiful family. What is worth jeopardizing all of that for moments. And so for me, when I look at my wife and I see how she's supported me, I'll give you a quick story. In Miami, my last year, I remember we were in London and she said, babe, if you don't want to be here, then you need to stop playing football because football is going to continue going, but we need daddy at home. I need my husband. And if you're not fully engaged at this time, we were struggling. I had never really been on a dysfunctional team, but she, that was who she was. She saw big picture all the time for me, and that's what I love about my wife, and I still do. Damn. Babe, I love you. Happy birthday,
can
too.
Can I say one thing?
Quickly.
You was on Rodeo and wasn't shopping? Man, that got to be tough. And I wasn't shopping. Let me tell you one thing. The beauty of being in the league is you ain't chasing. You are like, whoa.
Uncle Jimmy's here to help us talk about our approval rating for Tom Brady. What are you, a chauffeur? What are you doing?
Man, I got a little bachelorette party I got to go and do after I get done here. So let's get it moving. But, you know, Jimmy got to get that money.
Security at a bachelorette party or what?
Uh-oh. I'm providing the entertainment. Okay, get out of my personal business.
You got to play that cameo? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, all right, let's get to a highlight from our discussion earlier about Tom Brady. I think that, like, Tom Brady has redefined greatness in sports. We've never seen this before. A 40-year-old buy into a system and a coaching staff and a culture that has allowed one team to be dominant in this league for damn near 20 years.
I'm looking at Tom Brady like, respect. But as great as he is to the game, he still takes it down a notch so that his game and his team could be dynastic. Where LeBron's like, I'm gonna take it up a notch, and I'm still gonna be the guy that's gonna be in the finals every single year.
All right, Uncle Jimmy.
Somebody been carb loading.
Uncle Jimmy, what's your take on Tom Brady?
Man, first of all, man, you know I like to joke and laugh, man. Uncle Jimmy can roll with the punches with the best of them, man, but I gotta say this, and I'm really serious, man. You hurt my feelings, bro.
What?
Why was I not included in the discussion of this last segment? Talking about a wife. You got everybody and their mama up here at the desk running their mouth talking about their wife. Now you wanna ask Uncle Jimmy about Tom Brady. Really?
We talking about, like, successful marriages, not divorces. That's why you weren't up here.
Are you hungry?
Yeah, I can eat.
You want a two-piece? I advise you interrupt me one more time. Now, this between me and my nephew.
Okay, my bad.
I done taught this boy everything I know about women and the game.
Oh, my.
Jason know that I know more about women than you, TJ, Greg, Dante. I know more about all of y'all, maybe except for Iceberg Jim Jackson, but other than that.
Yeah, about to say.
You know, Uncle Jimmy, I ain't never played high school, college, professional. I mean, but you know, if you look at my body, you wouldn't know that. You know, Uncle Jimmy more of a player than any of y'all would ever know.
That's the point, Uncle Jimmy. Marriage is not a game. That's why I waited. It's real life, bruh.
You sound like a special person. You sound naive. As long as a man and woman is involved, it's a game. It's like when Eve conned Adam, talking about, you gonna play a game?
Oh, yeah, baby, we're gonna play. Oh, let's go bobbing for apples.
Been a game ever since. And this is why y'all needed me in this discussion.
What were you going to add? What did you want to say that we didn't allow you to say? Go
get it.
It's two things you need to know about a woman in case you think about jumping the broom, in case you forgot. First thing you need to do, you need to check her credit score. Anything under 700, it's a disaster waiting to happen. Y'all know why Tom Brady's so happy?
Why?
Gazelle credit score in the upper 900s. Ain't never been late on a payment. Ain't never had to make a payment arrangement.
She paying in advance for cars she just test driving.
So what's number two then?
All right, man, first of all, the game is sold. It ain't told, but here's what you do. Ooh. Listen to me on this. Yay! Listen here, man. The game is sold. It ain't told. Here's what you do. Get your can of Crisco grease. Mm. Half can, half full. Hand it to her. If she take it, put it on the stove. You got your special woman that knows how to make collard greens and make you some of that burnt cabbage and hot water cornbread.
Burnt cabbage.
Now, if she take it and put it in the trash, you'd engage to a woman that put diced carrots, tomatoes, and apples in potato salad. A credit score and bacon grease is all you need to know to have you a good woman and to be happy in life. And the Carfax. Check the Carfax. Equal and the Crisco grease.
Oh, my God. And listen, we don't have much time.
Please.
Tom Brady remains a GOAT at a 92. I dropped him 1 point in job performance. Threw a couple picks last night.
Same here. Just dropped him 1 point. He could have had 3 picks. They only had 2 still advanced, so not over there mad at it. Still a GOAT. Give him that sound.
I hope we still on the air tomorrow.
I got the body of a goddess. Everybody knows that. You face and face so fat.
Gotta do some more incline.
You know what I'm doing. You got a tough act to follow.